is the town clerk of Cary Beach, and I call the Board of Adjustment meeting for November 26, 2024 to order, and I open the meeting. Can I please get a motion to appoint a chairperson pro tem for the meeting tonight?
Make a motion to appoint John as pro tem chair for the meeting tonight.
Second.
Aye.
Aye.
John, you can take over from there.
All right. Thank you very much. Bear with me.
To start at the adoption of the agenda, can you make a motion to adopt the agenda and then go from there?
Yes, I make a motion to adopt the agenda.
I'll second.
Who second?
I will.
Well, you're the chair.
So I know.
Second, besides.
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Great.
We have no public comments tonight.
No public comments.
So we order business.
Okay. So, well, welcome everybody. This is a evidentiary hearing under Town of Cary Beach Code of Ordinances, 12.06.040, Appeals of Administrative Decisions, and 12.06.050, Quasi-Judicial Procedures on the Appeal of an Administrative Decision submitted by Thomas and Vanessa Deering, the appellants, concerning the property located at 500 Fort Fisher Boulevard South, Cary Beach, North Carolina. That's the property. The appellants are seeking relief from a decision by the town's former building inspector that the location of the air conditioner on the property is in violation of the code setback requirements. So I will remind the board members here, our instructions are in making our factual determinations, board members may only consider competent material and substantial evidence from parties who have standing. Not expert opinion testimony, including opinions related to diminution of property values and traffic safety issues, may not be considered in making findings of fact. The board is not precluded from relying on evidence that would not be admissible under the North Carolina Rules of Evidence if the evidence appears to be sufficiently trustworthy and was admitted under such circumstances that it was reasonable for the board to rely upon it. The board shall make findings of fact and identify the evidence supporting each finding, and we'll be given a worksheet to help us out with that. Under Cary Beach Code 12.06.05J, the board may reverse, affirm, or modify, wholly or partly, the decision appealed from and shall make any order, requirement, decision, or determination that ought to be made. A quasi-judicial decision shall be based upon competent, material, and substantial evidence in the record. The board's decision will be set forth in writing and delivered to the appellants in accordance with the provisions of the Cary Beach Code 12.06.05J. And for the purposes of this hearing, the town attorney will be appearing in an advisory capacity to the board and not as an advocate for any party. With that, I think we need to poll board members and ask each of you whether to state whether a conflict of interest exists due to direct financial benefit, bias, or fixed opinion, undisclosed outside contacts, or a close family or commercial tie. And if a conflict does exist, you, as a member, will be asked to recuse yourself from the hearing, and the board will vote to excuse that member from voting on this matter. So, I guess, starting here, do we have any conflict?
I do not have a conflict.
I do not.
No conflict.
Okay, I do not have one either, so I think we're safe to proceed. So, in administering the oath, do you help us with that, Beth, or is that something
you,
I do?
You are going to read
I do
it.
That.
I'm actually going to take the oath. So we'll stand over there and you'll read it out and then we'll repeat after you. Okay?
We all stand over here?
You're not you.
Okay.
We're the ones testifying to you.
Okay, I don't remember us this happening before. We always do this? I guess I've forgotten. All right. I just have to read it. All right, I ask you all to raise your right hand. Place your left hand on the Bible and repeat after me. I swear to tell the truth.
I swear to tell the truth.
The whole truth.
The whole truth.
And nothing but the truth.
And nothing but the truth.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Thank you. So with that, I think we're ready to hear testimony. And you'll kick that off, Beth?
Yep.
All right.
I am just entering into the record tonight the following exhibits. You have all received 1 through 8, but I will read them out individually. So exhibit 1 is the application of the appeal. Exhibit 2 is the agency appointment form. Todd Piper is the appointed agency for the record. Exhibit 3 is record of decision. Exhibit 4 is notice of hearing. Exhibit 5 is the mail notice of certification. Exhibit 6 is the posted notice of certification. Exhibit 7 is the notice affidavit. And Exhibit 8 is the email to the applicant and to the board of the record. You guys have any questions for me?
No questions? Thank you. Okay, I think next on the list would be Bethany White, the Director of Development and Compliance for Curry Beach. How are you?
Good evening, board members. I'd like to tender into the exhibits for the record. I have a memo for the board members.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm not sure if it was cord. Wait, I think I got two there.
Thank you.
And this is exhibit 9 for the record. So my name is Bethany White. I am the Director of Development and Compliance and the Building Inspector for the town and the current Building Inspector on this project. I have a memo here. It's basically a timeline. I'm just going to read through it and then I'll answer any questions that you may have. 500 Fort Fisher Boulevard South is located in the RA3 district and is a new single-family dwelling currently under construction. The building permit was applied for by Todd Piper of Tidal Wave Construction on 12/29/2023 and was approved and issued on January 12, 2024 by the town's former building inspector, John Batson. On August 27, 24, I was notified by Chris Smith, the superintendent to Todd Piper of Tidal Wave Construction, that there was a possible setback issue with the mechanical equipment being brought to go on the south side of the property, which has a 5-foot setback. He inquired about the exceptions for encroachment of mechanicals in the town code. 15.36.010 of Cure Beach Code lists exceptions to setbacks. Exception F states mechanical equipment can be within five foot of structure served when in the required 10-foot yard of a corner lot. There are no other exceptions for mechanicals written into our code. On August 30th, 2024, I met with Chris Smith on site to discuss the setback issues, review the plans approved by the town, and to discuss possible solutions. I advised that with the mechanical equipment in the setback, the project would not pass final inspection, and I would not be able to issue a certificate of occupancy. I explained the options for appeal, variance, and text amendment. Upon review of the original plans submitted to the town on January 4, 2024, I noted that both the architectural plans and structural plans clearly showed the mechanical equipment placed on the south side of the property. The site plan confirmed the equipment would encroach into the required 5-foot setback. And on October 3, 2024, I confirmed via email to Todd Piper that the plans submitted to the town on January 4, 2024 did show the mechanical equipment encroaching into the 5-foot side setback, and these plans were reviewed and approved by the previous building inspector. And on October 14th, 2021, Todd Piper did bring the application for appeal to me that's before you today.
I kind of have a question.
Sure.
It took 8 months before anybody noticed this. I mean, you gave the permit on 12/29, but then 8/27, nobody noticed this until then? Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah, that's actually, that's pretty typical, that wouldn't come up until the framing inspection.
Okay.
So we would have done a foundation inspection, a footing inspection in the beginning. Other than the original plan reviews, you wouldn't know where the mechanical equipment was going to get over.
So that's not out of the ordinary.
Until the framing inspection, yeah.
Okay.
But you didn't notice it. They brought it to you that they were out of compliance.
No, as far as I'm aware, I believe that Chris Smith was brought on board kind of in the middle of the project. That might be something more for him to answer than me.
So,
but yes, it was brought to my attention.
It was brought to your attention by them.
He wanted to ask what our allowances were for it encroaching into the setback, because he was concerned that it was going to be a setback there. It was probably right around, they were running it.
We met on site with our pool contractor.
I'm sorry, sir, what's your name?
So my name's Tom Piper.
Okay.
So we met on site with our pool contractor. He said something that seemed right to him.
Mm.
And we had the site plan. He said, and this is where the pool equipment, everything was designated. And so at that point, we got in touch with Bethany and said, we need to find out what's going on here. Because at that point, just a week later, like at that point, the house had mechanically been completed. We had our framing inspection on September 11th, just a week later. But prior to that, all the trades had been completed, the air conditioner, the plumbing, everybody else was done. So it was the pool contractor, and as soon as we found out from the pool contractor, we got a hold of Bethany. And as she said, we had a meeting August 30th to like measure everything out. We needed to make sure, we needed a surveyor there, we needed to make sure that we had a foundation survey when the foundation was installed, and that was in compliance. But we needed a surveyor out there to make sure that the property pins we were measuring from were exactly in a correct decision before we made it, before we moved any further.
Chairperson, I have one question, if I may.
Sure.
What is in the setback, the air conditioner or all the mechanicals or some of the mechanicals?
Well, it's the hookups for all the mechanicals right now. They're not actually there. Yeah, right.
No. We're delayed in installing them.
Yeah.
But it will be just a compressor, or will it be the HVAC system and a compressor?
So it'll be the HVAC compressors, the outdoor units, and it'll be the pool pump unit. And it's on the south side, so it abuts the neighbors' units as well. So unfortunately, everybody has to have an ugly side of your house. Like you've got to have your garbage cans and your conditioners, your air conditioning compressors. And so it's on the south side, which is the same side as the neighbors. The south side is the most hidden from public view. So that's the side it's on, and that's the side we showed. We showed it on the site plan.
And this is
the
so the setbacks are a local zoning ordinance. So it wouldn't be unusual, unless you build here all the time, and I'm guessing that the pool contractor has done projects here before, that would really be the only way other than us telling you that's it's a local ordinance, not state code.
But isn't it standard that there are setbacks in all
zoning
ordinances?
Yeah, it's not a state building code. It's a local, there's different towns have different rules with mechanicals being in the setback, not being in the setback. Different encroachments, just kind of depends on where you are.
The town of Carolina Beach allows it in the setback. So I build in the town of Carolina Beach regularly. And the town of Carolina Beach allows the air conditioning units in the setback. So nothing struck me as out of the ordinary.
Have you built in Carey Beach before?
Yes, yeah.
You knew about the setbacks? You didn't see this coming?
No,
I mean,
ma'am.
Like on
no,
the
ma'am.
Plans and knowing that the setback was there.
So, the setback, I make sure that I show everything on the site plan. So previously, I'm trying to think exactly But I show everything on the site plan just for this instance because every municipality has small variations. Yeah. And sure. So I want to make sure that I provide all the information for plan review for that reason, in case, you know, for this, like, so air conditioning units aren't allowed in the setback. There's in the town of Carolina Beach, they have very specific cantilever requirements. It's only allowed to be a certain percentage of the building itself, certain impermeable. So it's very important to me that I show exactly what I'm going to construct on the site plan.
Yeah.
And then I allow the local officials, like, you know, Bethany, whoever the town zoning officials, the building inspectors, to review those plans. Because as much as I try and study the codes, I can't remember every single code. Mm-hmm. I'm not an expert at every town. I just want to make sure everything I provide for plan review is exactly what I construct.
So you're gonna probably be up here to talk to us, right, in a minute or so. So I guess I'm more focused on Bethany. So it was approved. You say that the submission has the information you need. That it's typical. The drawings that we have here are typical as what is normally submitted to the town.
He submitted the required plans. Structural,
the drawings.
Site plan are yes. required. Yes. They don't always show where the mechanical equipment will be. Sometimes that's an issue that comes up later. Like I said, it commonly comes up around the preliminary inspection time when it is an issue. But his plans, his plans showed more than someone. We wouldn't necessarily. I mean, we try to make sure everybody knows what the setbacks are, but they aren't always. The mechanicals aren't always on the original plans that are submitted, and it wouldn't be a reason for denying.
It would not be a reason if it was not shown.
No, but we would say, you know, most likely we would ask where they were going to be if they weren't shown on it, to avoid this issue in the future.
They are not shown on any of the elevations, though.
They're shown on the original site plan.
Just the site plan, they're not shown on the elevations.
The architectural drawings.
I'm saying the elevations of the.
Can you point them to the page number?
I'm saying if you go to page right. five, page 13, and page 11.
The site plan is actually a very small.
I understand it shows on the site plan, but the elevations that would show the structures do not show them.
I don't see anything.
This site plan, if you go to real small,
yeah,
on the one you see a little pad.
My question, Bethany, is what's your procedure? How do you, when you get a set of plans, is it like, what are you checking for before you approve it?
We would check for zoning separately, and then we would go on to check for building code.
Okay. So it is definitely part of the process to check and make sure setbacks.
Yes, same as the height limit. We would make sure that they weren't proposing to do anything that was 37 feet high or something like that. So, typically we would catch that and say, you know, you need to submit appropriate plans before we would issue them.
Okay. Any question?
I have a question for you, Bethany. John Batson actually was the one that reviewed this and approved it. Is there a reason he's not here as a witness?
What's it say? I can't read it either.
Not really. I don't know that was pertinent because, he wouldn't deny that he issued the permit.
It's something that he may have seen that he thought was.
Yeah. I did follow up with him to see if he had any contact. Or any phone calls or discussions on it, and he did not. And I also have access to his email from when he was here, so I looked to see if there was any kind of side conversation about plans or anything, and I didn't find anything.
Okay. I can't. Can you help me on page 16?
Are you
you referring to? Oh, 33, I'm sorry. It's page 16 of the building permit.
Yeah.
Page 33.
Are you referring to the agenda page number or exhibit 3 page number?
Exhibit 33 of 56.
Page 33 of 56.
Yeah.
Of our packet.
Of our packet.
Yes.
Which is page 16 of the record of decision?
16 of the
decision.
Page 16 of exhibit 3. We can't read what it says in that little box that's outside.
Yeah.
None of us can read that.
You're on page 33 of 56?
Mm-hmm. The ground floor plan?
Yeah,
here's the box.
Oh, the box?
Yeah, well, I'm assuming this is what the mechanical unit is.
What's HVAC it? HVAC slash... I can't
read this. That's a question you might want to reserve for Mr. Piper.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay. I can pull it up on my computer.
I just need to know.
Oh, cool equipment, yeah. Take that tool. I think it's just listing what's in that. That's where the mechanical equipment is in the line. So, I can't read that. That's all I have to read.
That's where it's located.
Yes, that's where it's located.
But the setback's not shown in that drawing.
No, that's what the site plan.
Can you point us to the site plan here?
Can I see a site plan?
So the site plan is always the plan that shows the setbacks on it. So that's the little one all the way to the right hand side. So that shows the dotted line with the setback line.
But I guess my question is within that drawing, if we're talking page 9. That could be a sidewalk, it could be a driveway, it could be a pad. I mean, there's nothing that describes what it is on that plan, is there?
Well, then when you look at the architectural drawing on the ground floor and the drawing next to it, it identifies what that box is. Which again, small version.
Are you talking about the S29? That one, I can read it.
Thank you.
It says HVAC slash pool equipment platform.
Yes, yeah, so I guess I think for me it's, you know, is this typical? In other words, you would approve this. That gives you the information that you need. You would have known this, and you would have approved this as it is, or you would have said, hold on, no, there's that line there. That's what is that? And I'll go back and look. Or is this typical of what you would get?
I mean, yeah, we see this all the time. The protocol would be to, I would call Todd and be like, I read your plans and the HVAC is in the setback and it can't be in the setback according to our code. And he would submit drawings or something different showing. Yeah, we would wait to get drawings that comply to our ordinances before we would issue the permit. That's the protocol.
Okay. And when you went out there in August, what was on that spot?
The hookups for the HVAC equipment.
It was already installed?
There's like holes with the wires coming on the wall.
Got it.
And that's when you said, I think there's an issue.
Well, like I said, it was brought to my attention prior to that, and then I went out there to examine it so that we can make sure.
Any, it's ever happened to you before? Any precedent?
Yeah.
I don't know if that town attorney gets concerned when I ask that question. I'm just curious to know if there's any precedent for this before.
You mean in the code of being in the setback?
Where there's been an approval, and yet it appears that what was depicted on a drawing was not quite in compliance with town code.
I mean, I honestly haven't run into anything specifically like this before, but I'm sure.
I think in quasi-judicial proceedings, the precedent is not necessarily binding.
It's not binding.
So there is no precedent binding, okay.
Okay. Well, I think we can come back if we have more questions. Anybody has other questions right now, maybe we can hear from the appellant. Thank you, Bethany.
Well, I do have one more question. What if you run across a situation where the wiring's not installed properly, but per the drawings, and it's not per code? What do you do then?
The wiring?
I just pick the wiring. If something else is drawn properly, is drawn improperly, but it still doesn't meet code, how do we deal with that?
You mean in the plan review process? Or
no, just if it's not caught in the plan review.
Well, we would if it was not up to code, then they would pass the current inspection. Whatever I was doing would pass the inspection. So it would say you have to bring this up to code.
Okay.
C-O-R-R-I-E-L-E-E. I'm an attorney here in Wilmington. I represent the applicant. Thank you for being here this evening. I'm squinting at you. It's because I have my contacts in, not because I'm curious, although I do want to certainly answer your questions. Thank you for being here. And if at any point you have any questions that I can answer or Mr. Piper could answer, please do feel free to stop me. As staff pointed out, the matter that we're here for this evening is a building permit that was issued by a previous building inspector, and it was issued in January of this year, which the plans did show that the mechanical platform for the HVAC and pool equipment was to be within the 5-foot setback. That structure has since been substantially completed in compliance with those approved plans, including all of the electrical and mechanical work that goes into feeding the HVAC units that would be on the side of the property within the entirety of the structure itself. As staff mentioned and Mr. Piper mentioned earlier, it was discovered later by one of Mr. Piper's contractors that the HVAC platform was going to be within the 5-foot setback, and Mr. Piper quickly called that out to the town of Cura Beach to try to rectify it. I will point out, and certainly your attorney can speak to this, the matter that you're here for this evening is an appeal of an administrative decision. The request that we have is the granting of a variance as our relief. And I'm going to go through with you how to satisfy those four criteria, as well as the facts that show that we do satisfy the criteria for the granting of the variance, in hopes that this board will be inclined to grant the variance to our client, given that they have built this structure, and it would be a significant hardship for them to tear down a good portion of what they've done when they have tried to comply in good faith with the requirements of the Town of Cura Beach's code. The request that we have for you this evening is relating to section 15.20.030 A4 of the Town of Cura Beach's code, which does require 5-foot side setbacks. And our request is a waiver as it relates to the HVAC platform, so not a waiver of the entire side setback, but simply a waiver as it relates to that platform itself being able to encroach into the setback itself. The variance criteria that are statutorily required in order for you to grant a variance, there are four. It is that there is an unnecessary hardship that would result from the strict application of the ordinance, that there are peculiar conditions that give rise to the granting of the variance, that it is not self-created, and that substantial justice would be achieved, and that the spirit, purpose, and intent of the ordinance would be achieved by the granting of the variance. Looking to satisfying those criteria in this specific case, discussing these three criteria together makes the most sense, simply because they all do tie intimately together, as you've heard staff and Mr. Piper already state. There is an unnecessary hardship that would result from the strict application of the ordinance. Simply put, our client has put significant time and effort into building the structure in compliance with the approved plans, and they would be needlessly tearing out essentially all of that mechanical work in order to move the structure to the other side of the house. Mr. Piper can speak to where the relocation would be required to be, but aesthetically it would be in a significantly different place, and it would look much different when it comes to the town of Curie Beach's desire for the general scheme of development. We've had a lot of conversations this evening about what it looks like. Here is an image for your consideration that shows the current, as of today actually, status of the property. As you can see, the HVAC units have been stubbed out, for lack of a better term, all of the mechanical and ductwork equipment that's required in order to actually have running systems has been filtered through the entire house and is currently stubbed out to the side of the property. This property abuts a public right-of-way on two faces, and so this was the only real place that it could be put and be hidden. So that was part of the rationale. I'm glad to bring my laptop up there to show you if it would be easier and if you need that.
But that, it, just to confirm, it's there on the left next to the greenhouse?
Yes, sir. For the record, I'm going to be pointing to the side of the house where the stub-outs show.
It's on the right there. Yeah. Right there. Right there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And so I guess when the platform's built, how much room is going to be between the platform and the fence?
How much room will be between the platform and the fence?
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's 2.5 feet, and the entire distance between the houses in total will be 12 feet, which would exceed, you have a 5 foot and 5 foot setback, would be 10. But even if this were to encroach into the setback on my client's property, it would still exceed what a minimum setback if the units were built would be, with 10 feet. And Mr. Piper, I'm sure, is glad to answer more questions to that effect as well. As to the peculiarity, I'm going to show you, I know we've had lots of conversations about where is this showing up on our site plans, and I want to make sure it's clear for the board. This was on the approved plan. That is certainly a peculiar situation to have. I have represented local governments and clients alike in land development matters, and I can say certainly it's uncommon and peculiar to have approved plans that allow or at least reflect an ability to build within a setback. And I want to go one more photo so you can see it very clearly. The HVAC platform very clearly on that drawing is within the setback as delineated on the site plan that was submitted to the town of Curie Beach in January of this year.
Ms. Lee?
Yes, sir.
Is it possible at some point that you could pinpoint that document within Exhibit 3?
Yes, sir, certainly. To pinpoint that document within the report, it's sheet A1, it's 9 within your packet. And I just simply screenshotted it, put it in my presentation, and highlighted it.
That's page 9 of the exhibit?
Yes, sir.
All right, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Yes, sir. As to the actions of the applicant when we look at the granting of a variance, our client submitted these plans, as Mr. Piper stated, in good faith, in an effort to comply with the town of Curie Beach's code of ordinances and in a belief that the building inspector would review them in full and let him know if there were any modifications that needed to be made in order to come into compliance. I have included the email that was sent to Mr. Piper indicating that the mechanical platform being within a setback was included as part of that site plan, and that is within your exhibits as well. There is a series of emails, and I'm glad to call that out for you as well. That is going to be page 25 of the record of decision.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. The last criteria that we're really concerned with in this context of the granting of a variance is that the spirit and intent of an ordinance is satisfied and that public safety is secure and substantial justice is achieved. When you're looking at the spirit and intent of an ordinance, the purpose of setbacks is typically to ensure a common scheme of development within an area, in this case, the RA3, and to ensure public safety. As I mentioned, if both properties had been built according to the minimum setbacks, there would be a 10-foot separation. And in this case, even with the granting of the variance, my understanding, and again, Mr. Piper will ensure that I'm correct on this, the separation is 12 feet of those buildings. And when we're talking about substantial justice, it would be just for our client to be able to continue the building that they put so much time and effort into, that they have built, again, in compliance with those approved plans, and to allow them to continue to do so that they don't have to relocate it and put the HVAC unit in an area that would be certainly much uglier. Mr. Piper can speak to that, but also would cost a significant amount of money and take a significant amount of time to accomplish.
But I guess what's to keep the property that you keep referring to, that will be 12 feet, keep them from building up to their setback so that there's less than 12 feet between the two units?
Hypothetically, there would be nothing, but at this present time, the separation is 12 and a half feet. And to that point, we do have a signed letter from the adjacent property owner that I have included in my presentation stating, and it looks like it blacked the signature out, but it is a signed letter in my presentation. I'm glad to give you guys a copy of that, stating that he does not object and that his HVAC unit is on this side as well, and that he is fine with the variance being granted.
Chairman, one question. Ms. Lee, are you saying that if the mechanical platform goes where it's now presently indicated, there'll be 12 feet separation between the structures?
That's my understanding, but I would ask that Mr. Piper clarify and confirm that fact.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. In summary, looking at the factors that go into play with the granting of a variance, we would ascertain that we have met those criteria, that we do have an unnecessary hardship, certainly a peculiar situation, that our client did not create this hardship. They had rather intended to comply at every juncture, and that the spirit and intent and substantial justice would warrant the granting of a variance. If the board has any questions, I'm glad to answer them, and I also welcome Mr. Piper's comments and testimony as well.
Questions?
No questions.
No questions? Thank you. I appreciate it.
Can you make sure
Thank
you.
You
send us a copy of that presentation?
Yeah, I will send you a copy, and at this point, I would also like to move that my presentation be admitted into the record as evidence.
Thank you.
What member would that be?
That would be 10.
Thank you.
All right. Do we have any other?
Chairman, let me follow up. Yes. CORRIELLE.
Correct.
Thank you.
Do we have any other folks here tonight that are going to offer any?
I'd like to speak a little bit.
Sure. Come on up, sir.
Okay, so my name is Todd Piper. I'm Tidal Wave Construction. So these are the plans. Unfortunately, they're hard to read on 8x11. But I've been a general contractor for close to two decades now at this point. And part of my plan submittals is always in this order, okay? Because I want the site plan on the same page as the architectural plans. It's critical for me for this because it allows whoever's reviewing the plans to kind of understand the scheme and the scope of the building. Unfortunately, the site plan a lot of times, you know, a lot of times it may not have the proper labeling of like stairways and egress and things like that, where egress goes to if it's a commercial property, where egress is on a residential property. So this would be typical. All the setbacks, the lot lines are included. It does show the HVAC platform. It's labeled on this part as well. I went through all my emails as well to Mr. Batson to see if he had corresponded with me or anything to that. I redoubled my efforts. I didn't have any emails from Mr. Batson in regards to that. We talk about if we can go back to the photo. Can we go back to your presentation in the photo? So yes, to that photo right here. So currently, the platform would technically be somewhere around 28 inches. We're going to make it as small as possible. In addition, my clients have chose to use smaller air handlers, compressors, to limit the size of it. I do need to have the ability for technicians to work on the units as well. So from this, from the units over, we'll have 12 feet from the units themselves to the structure over here. In regards to this customer, you know, extending his house or something, moving to the setback line, while hypothetically that's possible, he has just invested a lot of money in pavers and fences, and he's updated his property considerably in regards to that. So when I met Mrs. White on site on August 31st, all of this work here had been completed. So as soon as we discovered that there may be some issue with the setback, unfortunately, all the mechanical work at that time had already been completed. So it was all done, like, at that point. It would be a substantial effort to move the equipment to any other location in the house. It has to do with the engineering more than anything. Because when that equipment is run, it's critical. We have load-bearing beams, and by code, we're not allowed to drill holes and put pipes through those beams. So it's quite a task when you decide where it goes. One of the other questions I think Mr. McNeely had is about if something was drawn, you know, how would it be approved? So all of that's controlled essentially by safety, by building code and safety. So if something's drawn and it doesn't meet building code, unless it's signed off by an architect or a structural engineer, then it defaults to building code. I've seen things that are signed off by an engineer that are different than building code, but they had a certain reason why they had done the engineering the way they had done. In this situation, it's unfortunate. I do provide, on the building plan, I do provide every bit of information I can, because every municipality is a little bit different. Whether it's cantilever area into a setback, whether it's building in a setback, it seems like every area has their own little architectural requirements to keep the spirit of the community. So I had no intent of creating this hardship for my customer. And as soon as I found out about it, I immediately contacted Bethany about it.
Okay, so help me there a little bit. You make sure that you check all the cantilevers and areas, but when you go to our definitions, it's pretty clear what our setbacks are. Did you not go to that detail to look at our setbacks?
I make sure they're proper on the plans. Like, I make sure that is all proper. Like, so if you were to have a cantilever on it, if you were to have a cantilever, like, how many inches in it? The town of Carolina Beach is 18 inches.
But here again, the structure's not showing on your plans.
Right, right. But what I'm saying is when I provide plans, I try and make sure everything that's on those plans is what I'm building. Well, where the AC units are going, where the cantilevers are going.
I'm just saying, why would you not show them in your elevations and all where they're going?
Typically, you never show the outdoor equipment on your elevations. Your outdoor equipment is always shown in your overhead. And the majority of most building permits don't even show most builders don't show where the outdoor equipment's going to be.
I built a house in Carey Beach. So you're talking to somebody that actually went through the pain of redesigning my home because of the setback and the AC unit and the propane tank. I had to redesign my entire corner of the home. So my builder knew, because I can't do that because of the setback. We can't do that.
I would have been happy to make any changes required. I mean, I showed it on the plans, and I requested plan review. Yeah.
If I'm a builder and I see that, I can tell you, you guys have decided to go to a smaller unit, not because it was something that you had planned for, but you're wanting to go to a smaller unit to make it fit now.
No, we're just trying to do the best we can to comply with it. I mean, any unit would fit there and it would be serviceable. The service panel's on the south side of the unit, so they can service it. We're just doing everything we can to try and comply. We've explored, I spoke to Bethany, and we explored, could we cantilever? Could we raise them up, off the ground and try and cantilever? Mm-hmm. Except we're not it's only allowed on the 10-foot side. Setback, so it doesn't work on this side. I mean, if it had been caught in plan review, we would have made the modifications. I don't know. I mean, if it was caught in plan review, we would have been happy to make any changes.
Two wrongs don't make a right. I still think the burden should fall upon you, because you've done this before. These people are innocent. They don't know what this is going to look like. But as a builder, you go out there and you walk that plot of land, and even when it's staked out, you know that something's going on outside of those pens.
Yeah, I mean, I struggle with the fact that you keep saying it's the town of Curie Beach's fault that you designed you designed it improperly and submitted something that doesn't meet our codes, yet you're throwing it at the town to say it's their fault because they might have missed something. That happens all the time in plan reviews, and local building inspectors catch it. And it doesn't mean that it's right that it's put, it's not caught in plan review. Not everything is always caught in plan review. It can't be. It's impossible. I mean, if you knew this was a variance, you could have clouded it and made sure that they knew this was a variance. But I don't understand it. It's the town's fault that you designed a property to not meet the codes and zoning.
I have another question. What about the overhang? Where's the overhang on this, on the top of the three-story house, right?
Mm-hmm.
How far overhang do you have?
I'm sorry, ma'am. Can I get a yes to that answer? You said, mm-hmm. Can you say yes or no?
Yes, yes. The overhang?
Yeah. I can't see the top of the diagram.
11-inch overhang, ma'am.
A 9-inch?
11.
11-inch, I believe.
The roof?
I don't know. I would have to use a scale on this if you're asking for a specific number off the top of my head.
Well, because we have those are actually part of the building codes also. So
that can approach 18 inches into the setback. Any architectural features can encroach 18 inches into the side setback.
I believe it's 11 inches, 12-inch soffit with 11-inch.
Yeah.
But there's no non-compliance related to that, though, correct?
No.
No. Okay.
Well, I was just curious, just because I didn't see the rest of the diagram.
So if this cantilevered and was not built off the ground, it would still not meet zoning?
Yeah, we talked about the cantilever, and It still would not meet that setback on the side.
It had to be on the 10-foot side. It had to be on the other side, right?
Yeah, you can put it on the. It still wouldn't meet setback. So when,
is that because it's still too wide?
An architectural feature, so again, it can extend further into the setback, but it still wouldn't meet that. So the effort of doing that would make no sense.
We tried. I mean,
we did talk about it.
Yeah.
I just, Mr. Piper, I had a building done too, and he made it clear to contractor when the, now this was a little different than this, but he made it real clear, 10 feet, not 10 feet 1 inch, 10 right. feet. So I knew when we placed the air conditioner right where it had to go, because he knew.
I, you know, the setbacks are the setbacks. I mean, it's a mistake. I mean, you know, in the future, yes, I would know, but, you know, I mean, my point is it was just a mistake that was made. If the site plan did not show the HVAC platform, if it did not show that, there's just a lot of mistakes that were made. You know, as soon as we discovered it, we contacted Bethany. You know, there was no desire to try and fool anybody.
That's and so in what's transpired since August 27th, there's been no further work in that area. You've simply been waiting to have this hearing?
Yes, sir. So we worked with Bethany and we tried to determine if we could cantilever something. We explored other options. We explored different air conditioning units, everything we could do. And the final determination was there was nothing we could do.
And help me, Bethany, the 10-foot rear setback, if they were moved around to the rear, would be for...
I believe it is, the structure extends to the 10-foot setback. Yeah. Am I right?
If the tent in the rear, they don't work either.
Yeah, I don't think they're
had we known in the beginning, we would have made some adjustments and put them somewhere else. We would have put them in the rear.
I thought we could... do a platform in the rear that's not as bad, right? I'm trying to...
But a solution.
Trying to look for a solution.
That's on the document that I believe Mr. Piper...
You made reference to an exception, Bethany, exception F, about structure serving required a 10-foot yard of a corner lot. We're not talking about corner lot here, correct?
It is actually.
It is a corner lot?
Yes.
Yeah. That is the only exception to equipment. So it's on that corner lot side with a 10-foot setback. It's allowed to have a 5-foot setback on there as well.
You noted in here that there's other properties in Kerry Beach have similar arrangements, establishing a precedent. Do you have any thing to show us for that?
Well,
any examples?
I think he said we couldn't use precedent, but 435 Fort Fisher Boulevard South, the units are actually touching at that. They're within 6 inches, and I believe Mr. Deering, so.
Yeah, I probably have a picture on the phone of that.
And that was approved? But I mean, did they?
We don't know.
I mean, we don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
There's lots of, I don't know if I can justify it, but there's lots of AC units in the setback in this town.
Okay. Something prior to older homes. I know a lot of the older homes here don't take up all the buildable space. They have yards and greenery and plantings and it's not from every build line to build line. So the thing that I'm thinking about is when all of these little small cottages are torn down and these are put up, these three-story building from corner to corner from the build line, and oops, we forgot to put the pool equipment in. Oops, we forgot, we weren't thinking about the AC unit. I mean, what is it going to look like?
Well, I mean...
10 years down the road, 20
years
down the road.
I don't know. I think this is... I don't see you think you'll ever see this again. I mean, I think that Bethany definitely wouldn't ever grant something like this. And I don't think John... I don't know if John ever granted something like this. I think this was just a one-time mistake. I don't know of... any other builder who's had something shown on the site plan, shown on the building plan that came before you. I've heard of other builders and homeowners build something that wasn't on the blueprints, that then they get to the final and they said, oh, we just didn't realize it. We bumped this out, we made this change, and nobody realized it until we got to the end. I mean, I've seen that at other Board of Adjustments.
The window that's there.
Yes, sir.
Where's that at on the elevation? On which window is that along
the elevation? So that would be, can we go to the elevations?
Yeah, right there. Just show me which window that is.
So that would be this window right here, sir, in the bathroom.
It's a bathroom window.
It's a bathroom window. So it appears that the units, and here again, it's just a picture, aren't within the pad either.
Mm-mm.
It appears the units are all the way down the length of the house, or at least halfway down the length of the house, and not confined to the mechanical pad.
It has to do with the way the photo is taken.
So you're saying that those are all stubbed out within that distance of that mechanical pad that's drawn there?
Yes, sir. I mean, it has to do with the way the photo was taken, but okay. Whatever the size of that platform is, the area that we're going to occupy with air conditioning units. I think it's 12 feet, something like that. 7, 8. So it's 7 from the hash to hash. So this area is 7 feet, and I believe that's 4 feet right there.
So that platform's how big? 4 feet?
No, the platform's 12 feet by 30 inches. And we discussed with Bethany if we made the platform as small as possible, if with...
Go back to that picture, please.
With cantilevering it, if it would still be... I'm looking for the right words. If we would still be in violation if the units themselves were off the edge of the platform, if we could make the platform in compliance, if the units themselves were off the platform, and she said we would still be out of compliance.
May I interrupt for a minute? I want to make sure the focus of this hearing is on point. We've got an appeal that is seeking a variance. If you use the variance provisions in the general statutes and in the code as a guidepost for this appeal, this is a unique situation. It's an appeal and the relief requested from, it's an appeal of the decision that the mechanical platform is located within the setback area in violation of the code. That's the determination. There is an appeal of that determination. And in that appeal, the relief requested is a variance. If you use, and for purposes of this hearing, since it was an appeal that was filed, we have provided the code provisions for an appeal. We haven't provided the provisions for a variance, but they were covered in Ms. Lee's presentation. If you use the variance provisions as a guidepost, if somebody comes in, requests a variance from the Board of Adjustment, there's those four things that they have to prove. If they prove those four things by competent material and substantial evidence, they are entitled to that variance, so much so that if the variance is erroneously declined or denied, I should say, they can take it to court. And if the court agrees that they have met their burden, the court will order the Board of Adjustment to issue that variance. So it's not a question so much as whether the developer did something wrong or whether John Batson did something wrong. The issue that you have to handle is whether the four conditions of the variance have been met. Is there a hardship? What unique circumstances contributed to that hardship? did the landowner contribute to that hardship? And does the variance requested match the spirit and intent of the ordinance? That's the determination that's in your hands right now. Not whether somebody made a mistake in the drawings, not whether John made a mistake in the drawings. It comes down to those four elements, and if they're met, he's entitled, the appellants are entitled to a variance. So please keep your focus within the proper context.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, sir.
Any final questions? Thank you. Thank you for that. As a matter of order, I guess I'd ask, is there any rebuttal? Thank you. Any rebuttal, Bethany, or? Sorry, did you have anything? No. Okay. All right, with that, the town attorney has provided us a worksheet that goes through the summary of evidence and findings. We're good to walk through that now?
Yes, and during this phase, you're welcome to continue asking questions if you need clarification. The parties are not permitted during this phase. They've already given their evidence, so there won't be any cross-examinations and all that. But if you're ready, we'll go ahead and walk through the worksheet.
That's a good idea.
Based on the evidence presented, you have to make findings of fact. And we have to, by code provision statute, we have to cite the evidence that supports the findings of fact. And actually, they go into the minutes and into the transcript. So first, we're going to identify and summarize the substantive evidence that was presented. And it seems to me that Exhibit 3, the record of decision, Exhibit 1, the appellant's appeal document application, Ms. Lee's presentation, and I would suggest that the letter from your neighbor is to be sent off of the end of the letter to Ms. Lee. I would suggest that the appeal, the presentation, the record of decision, and the letter from the neighbor are the substantive, is a good, summarizes the substantive evidence that was presented.
You don't typically include the testimony?
Yes, you're right. I'm not thinking sincerely, but that's correct as well. Chairman, I'm going to ask you to summarize briefly what that evidence shows. I don't want to, that's your function.
Okay.
I'm not saying you got to break it down to what, which document presented what evidence, just a nutshell summary of what has been presented to the board.
I think in summary, the evidence shows that the appellant filed for all the proper permits as normal, under following the normal procedures. The people involved are experienced. You have a reputable builder who's built in Curry Beach before. Followed normal procedures, submitted what was required. That underwent review by the town and was approved with no exceptions noted. They proceeded in good faith to construct the property as was approved. And at some point along the way, someone noticed what appeared to be a possible issue and raised that concern with the town, with people in the town. So they got re-engaged and confirmed that, in fact, though the drawings and were approved, the permit was issued, in fact, there was a discrepancy and did not comply with the setback in the code that the town has.
And you may have mentioned it, but if you didn't, would you add to that summary that the building plan submitted with the permit application did show the mechanical platform within the setback area?
Great point. Yeah, it's clear that, at least according to the standards and the testimony we heard, what was submitted would be typical and did show would be sufficient to make a determination on whether or not it was compliance with setback.
proceeding with the worksheet, you've got the appellant's name and address, so we're not worried about that. I believe the evidence also shows that the appellant's interest in the subject property is a owner. So we're not concerned about that. The decision being appealed from is Ms. White's determination that there is a setback, non-compliance with the setback requirements. Now we're going to get into the findings where we need a consensus from the board, and we're not talking about voting on each of these findings, we're talking about a consensus. So let's start off. On or about January 9, 2024, appellants did or did not submit to the town an application for a building permit.
Did.
The application did or did not include architectural plans, engineer's plans, and a survey of steel site plan.
It did.
The building plan did or did not show the location of the mechanical platform within the setback area. The building plan did or did not show the location of the mechanical platform within the setback area.
I say they did, but I
said HVAC.
Well, just think of the testimony.
The location of it was shown in the drawing. According to when I look at that drawing, I think, again, based on what Bethany has said, that's typical of what would be shown.
Well, I think all the witnesses that testify all indicated that the building plans included with the permit application did show yes. the mechanical platform being located within the setback area. Do you agree?
Yeah. Yes.
The building plans were or were not reviewed and approved by the town's former building inspector. Mm-hmm. Said building inspector did or did not issue a building permit to the appellant.
He did.
Okay. Tidal Wave Homes LLC, Mr. Piper's company, did or did not complete the construction of the residential structure.
Did.
The construction of the residential structure was in accordance with the approved building plans. Was or was not?
It was.
The building inspector's issuance of the building permit was or was not erroneous since it allowed the placement of the mechanical platform within the setback area which was shown on the building plans.
Was erroneous.
The building inspector's issuance of the building permit was or was not erroneous.
It was.
Got a consensus on that?
I think it was.
In essence, did Mr. Batson approve the plans even though it showed the mechanical platform within the setback area?
Yes, it did. I guess I'm a little hung up on since it allowed placement. I mean, it was approved. It's not in compliance, but yet it was approved.
Yeah, these findings will be reworded correctly when I do the decision, but they're enough to get us through this. The relief requested by the appellants, I'm going to rephrase some of these based on the presentation of the variance to the board. So number 12 will be the appellants are seeking the variance as relief in their appeal. Correct?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Then I'm going to reword it 13, 14, 15, and 16. So you need to listen to me instead of being able to read it on the document. Yeah. Applying the setback requirement to appellant's property will or will not create a unique hardship for the appellant. Applying the setback requirements will or will not create a unique hardship for the appellant. There was testimony about tearing everything out, re-engineering it, and relocating it, time, money, and expense.
Who's the appellant?
The owners of the property.
Yeah, the owners.
People of that building, not Mr. Piper, Mr. and Mrs. Deering, who owned the property and contracted with Piper Homes Hideaway to build the structure.
I don't know if we know the answer to that.
Based on the testimony that you've heard, if you...
But is the builder paying for it, or are they paying for it?
Go ahead.
I don't know that we know the answer to that.
Well, you can, you're welcome to try to clarify that with questions to Ms. Lee.
The cost would be the Deerings.
Would be what?
The Deerings, the owners of the property, would be paying the cost, and they would be suffering the additional time and expense associated with the relocation of the units.
And the time lag for reading, you're talking months to finish the house if you're going to relocate the mechanical platform.
No doubt, I guess. I mean, I see it as a hardship. It's the words, you use the word unique. I think Ms. Lee used the word unnecessary.
Well, she's right, I'm wrong. Unnecessary hardship.
It becomes what's necessary.
It comes into the next element. So, will the appellants suffer an unnecessary hardship if the setback requirements are enforced?
Yes.
Yes. All right, good. Are there or are there not unique circumstances that resulted in the hardship?
I would say yes.
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 And what would that be?
I think in this case, we have approved. Error made in the approval, something we don't know why or how, but...
Mr. Batson's approval of...
Approved the plan despite the fact that it showed it was not in compliance.
The unnecessary hardship is or is not the result of the landowner's actions or the appellant's actions.
Well, it's not. Has anything to do with them.
It's not.
They didn't know this.
And is the variance requested by the appellants consistent with the spirit and the intent of the zoning ordinance? And you may want to ask Mr. Piper or Ms. Lee to refresh your memories on that.
Can you repeat that, the question again?
What was that question?
Is the variance that's requested by the appellants consistent with the spirit and intent of the town zoning regulations?
And, yeah, I'd ask Ms. Lee to refresh my memory on that.
When it comes to the applicable zoning district, RA-3, the minimum side setbacks for properties are 5 feet. And when it comes to this property in particular, if they were allowed to have the HVAC platform within the setback, there would still be 12 feet, which is greater than the total minimum setback between two properties. I will also note the additional 30 inches would be free on the majority of the property. So it would just be that distance, that 12 feet of the property where that platform is required. They would not be allowed to encroach in other areas of that property.
Thank you.
I would also turn your attention to the appeal application itself. On page 3, the appellants state as follows. Well, granting the variance maintains the community's aesthetic and functional integrity, and that's really one of the functions of the zoning ordinance, is to maintain aesthetic and functional integrity. The appellants state as follows, granting the variance is the most appropriate and aesthetically pleasing solution for the community. The only alternative would be to relocate the mechanical units along G Avenue, a prominent public thoroughfare. This would necessitate stacking multiple AC units above each other, creating an unattractive appearance inconsistent with the neighborhood's character. Such an arrangement would detract from the visual harmony in the area and diminish the curb appeal of the property. By maintaining the current configuration, the variance preserves the high quality and aesthetic of the home and aligns with the overall standards of the community. Based on that application or that statement by the appellant and based on Ms. Lee's follow-up testimony or yeah, testimony, do you have a consensus that the requested variance is consistent with the spirit and intent of the town zoning ordinance?
I do. Based on what they have provided. In addition, I believe that the ordinances are based on, they're there for a reason, of course, but when you have a homeowner or a builder or someone that wants to build a home, follow the correct procedures using competent folks, and they submit and they get something back that's approved and they proceed in good faith. To me, if there's no safety issue with what has been approved, then the bar is pretty high, in my mind, to go and now compel them to do something differently. In that, again, in good faith, they're very transparent, made every effort to engage the town, didn't try and...
And is what they're asking for consistent with our regulations? The regulations of zoning are to provide public safety and promote general welfare and public safety and something else, but I forget.
That in that sense, to me, in that sense, I think it is.
All right.
But I don't want to speak for those.
No, in that sense, I agree.
Do you all share in that viewpoint?
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That brings us to conclusions. The appellant does or does not have standing to appeal the administrative decision. They own the property. I think that, and the code provides for the appeal, so I think they do have standing. Under KBC 12.06.040, the board is or is not authorized to hear and decide appeals of administrative decisions. You are.
It is.
You're here under that authority. Pursuant to KBC 12.06.050.J, the board is or is not authorized to reverse, affirm, or modify wholly or partly the decision appealed from, to appeal from.
And hey, Jim, I hate to interrupt, but have they closed the hearing for this part?
They're going to close it after the finding.
Okay, you have it on the order of business to close it first.
I'll check it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was in the order here.
So close the hearing and conclude.
Yes.
Oh, we're at the conclusion now. Yeah. Chairman, if you could close the hearing.
Okay, I hereby say the hearing's been closed.
And let's get back to our conclusion.
Am I going off record?
No.
Taking up where I left off, the board shall make any order, requirement, decision, or determination that ought to be made. You do have the authority under that provision.
Yes.
The final conclusion that I've got is the appellant's building permit was erroneously issued. Was or was not?
It was. Well, it's not, the issue is not with how it was issued. The issue is that what was submitted, it was approved despite the fact that it showed noncompliance. So I guess maybe semantics there, but.
To rephrase the question, did Batson make a mistake in approving that those building plans when it showed the mechanical platform within the required setback area?
That's correct.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
You are now at the point where you can deliberate in open session amongst yourselves and make a decision on this appeal that seeks the variance. I ask you to keep in mind my previous comments about the authorization to grant a variance if those elements are met. Can we discuss the previous thing?
All right, thoughts?
Sorry.
Thank you.
excuse.
Sorry, what?
You have to speak up.
Speak up. Yeah, this is a public.
It's a
remains public. No,
we said amongst ourselves.
We can talk amongst ourselves, but so everyone can hear what we're saying.
It is an open session.
Sorry.
It's open, right?
I saw.
Still open. So.
My only question is why they couldn't have been relocated to this side. It would have been within all the variances. It wouldn't have been a hardship. It would have been hardship because it would have been aesthetically with the pool, but it could have just been flipped to the other side and had all the ordinances. But
can I get you to speak up a little bit, Sarah?
Speak into your mic.
I just, my question still was.
I caught it. I just want to make sure that you speak clearly enough for everybody to hear.
That they couldn't have just been flipped to the other side. Instead of on the back side, they said that they could only be along G Street, while they could have just gone to the other side, directly south from where they're showing on the plan. Well, and it wouldn't have been that much of a hardship because the lines have to run from probably the center of the house to the wall anyway, so they would have run to an outside wall.
It would not have been in compliance in the backyard either. There wasn't.
It's not in the backyard, it's in the side yard. If you put it in the little alcove there.
Right. I mean, it could have been modified at the beginning, surely it was up there, but at that point,
Well, the pool was already there?
Yeah,
it could have gone in the pool area.
I think the point was, what we heard was that
I mean, they didn't have to be, but
can
they
we
didn't
have, one
have to go.
Talking at a time
I'm just saying they didn't have to go to G Street.
There should be no.
Back and forth.
Go back and forth.
It's your discussion, and you've already gone past the point.
I think that it's not fair to the homeowner. I think it's a bad situation. I think it could have been rectified, but I don't think it's fair to the homeowner to make a movement at this point in time.
I'll remind you that you've already made a finding of fact that there is an unnecessary hardship.
Yeah, so sir.
Right, so where we are now, we've gone through, convinced ourselves that, a variance is justified. We've met the requirements. A matter of now of deciding what action. Now, Ms. Lee has asked for a waiver.
Variance. I'm not sure that's the correct terminology.
Variance.
Well, what I think, and Ms. Lee, tell me if you disagree with me. If you were granting a variance, you would grant a variance from the setback requirements with respect to the location of the mechanical platform on that property. Do you agree?
I agree.
Okay. So, we want to grant the variance.
Well, you might want to entertain a motion to grant the variance requested by the appellants. Let me think how I would word it about you. Entertain a motion to grant a variance from the setback requirements with respect to the location of the mechanical platform. Something along those lines.
Do I have a motion to grant a variance?
I would just like to say one thing. I think it's very unfortunate, and this shouldn't happen, and it shouldn't happen again. That's all I want to say.
You're not talking about me, are you?
No, absolutely not. Okay, I'm sorry. I just wanted to get that out there.
When it comes to the motion, you need to actually say, you can't just say Jim's motion. You need to say.
Yeah, to grant a variance to.
I make a motion that we grant a variance to allow the mechanical units to be in the 5-foot setback, on the 5-foot side yard setback at 500 South Fort Fisher Street.
Perfect.
I'll second it.
All right. Do we those in favor? All in favor? Say aye.
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 One final comment. I'll draft the decision, but it will take me a little bit of while to get that down. And then,
all right. We need a motion to close it out.
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion that we adjourn.
I'll second it.
Thank you. We're adjourned. I need to come in here.